And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road continuing to be on vacation. Nick, I think he's back next week for like a day.
He is back for a week. Or I'm sorry, for a day next week. Yeah. Yes.
Back for a day.
On Monday, I think.
On Monday?
Yep.
So I think Rex Road's coming back Monday.
Boy, I don't think he's actually here physically, right? I think he's here virtually.
I think he's here virtually.
Yeah.
Is he going
still
on
in
another
New York?
Vacation?
I think so. And then...
Kind of.
Paul Kuharsky, off of vacation, will be with us next week. I can see the excitement teeming with Nick Keyser over there.
Absolutely.
That's right.
He needs his own key card, though.
He does. He does. Adam Vingan is with us today again here on the program. By the way, we are broadcasting live today from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam should not have any trouble with planes flying over the top of us today.
I was going to say, welcome to the Robbie and Rex Road program, now with fewer planes.
We're live from the runway.
It was very nice of Duncan to have us yesterday.
It was.
At 326 Harding Place in South Nashville. We had a great time.
We did.
A lot of people came out.
Dogs, mascots, people.
There were dogs. There were mascots. There were multiple mascots. Cuppy, I learned, is the name of the Dunkin' Donuts mascot.
Correct.
And Booster was there.
It's a big day.
You had a couple of fan experiences, Robbie.
We did.
So, well, you did. I didn't. You did. They were happy to see you.
I'm a fan of you, Adam.
Thank you, Nick. Despite the fact that I called him an idiot earlier this week.
Yeah. I forgave you. It's okay.
I did apologize.
All good. It's all over.
I did apologize.
Yeah, but a lot of people in the text line yesterday. Like, you guys in the middle of an asteroid? You guys in the middle of a runway? What are we doing? A lot of planes.
So, I was surprised that there weren't any car accidents.
Yeah.
That's a very busy street that we were on or adjacent to.
There was some aggressive driving taking place.
There was some aggressive driving taking place for sure, yeah. But no accidents. So good on you, drivers of South Nashville.
Way to go. Way to go, guys.
32 planes went over yesterday.
Yeah.
Count.
And that's a you know, kind of the lower end.
I guessed like
18. I eventually just started turning the mic off when I wasn't talking and planes were going over the top. So it was probably more like 50. Probably about 50 planes.
Closer to. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, not going to have that problem today here on the program. The Stanley Cup final last night, Edmonton at home for game 3 with a chance to get back into the series. And, Adam, they blow that chance. Florida wins 4-3. A couple of big saves by Sergei Bobrovsky, especially in the third period. Edmonton got on a run. They were down 4-1. They ended up making it 4-3 and had a couple of great looks after it was 4-3 to tie the game at 4, but just weren't able to do so. Bobrovsky makes a couple of big saves. And now the Florida Panthers are up 3-0 in the Stanley Cup final. So, It's very disappointing from this standpoint. We have an NBA Finals series that is 3-0 that looks like Boston might close out in a sweep. And now there's a Stanley Cup Finals series that is also 3-0, and the Florida Panthers going for the first sweep in a cup final since, I believe, 1998 when the Detroit Red Wings pulled it off.
Yeah, don't remind me about that 1998 Stanley Cup Final.
Yep, Capitals.
Yes, the Red Wings swept my beloved, at the time, Washington Capitals. But yes, it has been that long since there was a sweep in the Stanley Cup Final. I wonder when the last time there was a sweep in the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final in the same year. I'm sure
That's
somebody
a great
has
question.
Figured that out. I bet I could easily look it up. Maybe I will during the break, unless you find it quickly, Robbie or Nick. But I have to imagine it's been a very – well, you said it's been since 1998, since there was a sweep in the Stanley Cup final, so it's been at least that long.
And that was I think that was the same year that Michael Jordan and the Bulls beat the Jazz, and that was not a sweep. So I can guarantee you it wasn't 1998.
Yeah, I'll have to look. Now I'm very curious. Yeah. I will find out the answer at some point during the
it
show.
May have
but
never
yes.
Happened.
Yes, it was the first time the Oilers have hosted a Stanley Cup final game since 2006. That was the last time they were in the Stanley Cup final when they lost to the Carolina Hurricanes. And Peter Laviolette.
Yep.
Peter Laviolette coached Carolina Hurricanes. So almost 20 years since Edmonton had hosted a Stanley Cup final game, and it did not go well. The Panthers are clinical in how they do things. I mean, the way that they scored those goals in the second period, you know, tough on the forecheck. that Barkov goal was a thing of beauty from end to end. The breakout pass, I believe it was from Reinhardt to Evan Rodriguez with the centering pass to Barkov, who went end to end in stride, caught the, you know, remember there were questions about whether Barkov was going to play in game three. And, you know, he was excellent. He also had a huge role in their first goal, stripping the puck from Evan Bouchard along the blue line, digging the puck out along the wall, getting it to Gustav Forsling, who got it to Sam Reinhardt in front of the net. So I'm going to guess that if and when the Panthers finish this off, which they could as early as tomorrow, that Sergei Bobrovsky will probably win the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Probably so.
But Barkov has an excellent case. This reminds me of last year when the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup. There were multiple players who were worthy of the Conn Smythe.
Yep.
You know, Aiden Hill, Jack Eichel, Jonathan Marchessault ultimately won.
Yep.
But you can say the same thing this year. Bobrovsky, Barkov, Reinhardt, Forsling. Like, there are a lot of options. And that just goes to show you what the Panthers have been able to do. On the flip side, the Oilers have scored, if my math is right, four goals in this series?
That is correct.
Four goals in this series, and they have zero from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Zach Hyman.
And you're just not going to win that way.
You're just not going to win that way. With all due respect to Warren Fogle and Derek Ryan, or, you know, and our friend Matthias Ekholm, it's just not going to get it done when your top players are not playing well.
According to Nick Kieser, the 1995, the last time there was a sweep in the Stanley Cup final and the NBA final. So apparently did the Rockets sweep the Magic? Is that right?
They did. I'm looking at it right now. The Rockets swept.
And what was the Cup final in 95?
That would have been the Devils, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, 95 was, let's see, maybe it was. 95 was the Devils and the Wings, and Claude Lemieux was the Conn Smythe winner.
There you go.
Yes, the Devils swept the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup Finals.
There you go. 95,
thanks, Nick.
Our answer.
So it has been 30 years, almost?
Yep, almost.
Since that, I mean, look, these two sports could be done by tomorrow, which is very sad.
Well, you know. I would almost – I have more confidence in the Oilers picking up a win than I do the Mavs. I'll put it that way.
I would agree with that.
I think in the NBA, not that it happens this way all the time, but when you get to down 0-3, I think you know that you're cooked. I mean, you don't – it's not much different in hockey. Like, the Oilers can't be feeling great today. But at least people in hockey in the postseason more than once – have come back from down 0-3. So it's like, okay, we know it's possible. So, I don't know. I just feel like the Oilers are due for a breakout game of, like, McDavid, Draisaitl kind of going nuts. And maybe they can get one here. But it feels over. Like, it feels like the NBA Finals over and Stanley Cup Finals over, which after three games in both series is disappointing. In other news yesterday, Trevor Lawrence gets an absolute bag from the Jacksonville Jaguars, reportedly 5 years, $275 million. And that the annual average value breaks out to about $55 million per year. So the deal reportedly is about $200 million in guaranteed money. $142 million is fully guaranteed. So a ton of money for Trevor Lawrence, $275 million total over 5 years. We knew that Lawrence was going to get a new deal. And he's been in that group that we've talked about of Trevor Lawrence needs a new deal. Jordan Love, who we talked about yesterday with Charles Robinson, needs a new deal. And it looks like he's going to get one at some point here before camp. Tua down in Miami, like, he's due a new deal. So is he going to get, you know, a big money from the Dolphins? Like, it kind of feels like those three guys have been that next wave. And then there's Dak in Dallas, who I think is in a little bit of a different situation. But if the Cowboys decide to go that route, could get paid a ton of money as well. But Lawrence, the first domino to fall there, 5 years, $275 million, $200 million in guaranteed when you start to sort through the contract. Fully guaranteed money is $142 million just right off the bat. What do you make of that deal for Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, this is how it works, right? you know, one quarterback gets paid, then the next one who gets paid gets a little bit more. Yep. And it just works like that. So as you said, his average salary per year is $55 million. That is tied with Joe Burrow for the highest in NFL history. So right now you have Lawrence and Burrow tied at $55 million. Jared Goff, who signed last month, at $53 million. Justin Herbert at $52.5 million. And Lamar Jackson at $52
million. Yep.
What I also thought was interesting was think back to that 2021 quarterback draft class. Trevor Lawrence just got paid. Zach Wilson.
Traded.
Trey Lance.
Traded.
Justin Fields.
Traded.
Mac Jones.
Traded. That's pretty wild.
So
Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence's backup right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, see? It comes full circle there for Mac Jones, I suppose. But it's interesting because if you look at Trevor Lawrence's body of work so far, is he deserving of being one of the, you know, with Joe Burrow, the highest paid quarterback in the league by average salary?
No.
You know, look, that first year, a lot of that you have to chalk up to the Urban Meyer factor. I mean, no one came out looking good in Jacksonville when Urban Meyer was the head coach. He took a big step in his second year, helped the Jaguars get past the Titans, win the AFC South. Although the Titans absolutely helped by completely
cratering
down the stretch. And then last year, I know that he dealt with some injuries, but he took a little bit of a step back. I was amazed when I read this. He had 21 turnovers last season.
Yeah.
He had 14 interceptions and 7 lost fumbles last year.
It's a lot of turnovers.
And I remember, was it the playoff game that he had four or five fumbles in a playoff game, didn't he?
I think so.
This is from, well, here you go. This is from ESPN. He has 60 turnovers in his first 3 seasons. There are only 11 quarterbacks who have made their debut since 1978 that have turned the ball over more in their first 3 seasons. Although that list includes Warren Moon, Peyton Manning, and John Elway.
I was about to say, Peyton Manning threw like 30 picks his first year.
So some Hall of Fame quarterbacks have overcome that, not to say that Trevor Lawrence is on the track for the Football Hall of Fame. But that's the name of the game when you're a quarterback. Someone gets paid, and the next quarterback up is going to get a little bit more. So Jordan Love is probably licking his chops right now, knowing that he might get 55.1 at this point. Probably not, but, you know, it's crazy to think that Patrick Mahomes is not on that list that I read.
Absolutely.
But he will be one day, probably.
We'll take your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence gets paid a lot of money from Jacksonville, $55 million per year. Total contract, 5 years, $275 million. What do you make of that move by Jacksonville, Titans fans? How do you view Trevor Lawrence now with the new deal that he's got in your division? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on the Trevor Lawrence deal that Jacksonville signed him to yesterday. 5 years, $275 million, $142 million fully guaranteed, $55 million per season for Trevor Lawrence. We knew the number was going to be big. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday with Charles Robinson. Like, whether it's the Jordan Love contract coming up, Tua when he gets paid. Like, the money, the going rate for quarterbacks now is over $50 million. That's what it is. If you're going to sign, you know, a quarterback that you feel is really, really good, maybe not elite, but really good, that's the going rate for quarterbacks right now is over $50 million per season. It's a lot of money. Now, the salary cap is going up every year in the NFL, and the salary cap is just – it's a ridiculous amount of money in the league, and everybody knows the NFL, incredibly profitable. They make a ton of money and all that stuff. So, you know, it could be 5 years from now, Trevor Lawrence making $55 million per year is really not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. But it is a lot of money for a guy, as you said, Adam, who has all the pedigree in the world, right? Like, when he was taken first overall, he was can't miss, right? You know, they were people talking about him in the same breath that they talked about Andrew Luck coming out of college. Of this guy, I mean, we knew for a year and a half, 2 years before he got drafted, that Trevor Lawrence, when he came out, was going to be the first pick in the draft. And he was. And again, like you said, his first year wasn't good. It's hard to hold much of that against him when you remember just what an absolute train wreck it was under Urban Meyer. The second year, for the first half of the year, his second season, it still wasn't going great. And then he turned it on and played awesome down the second half of the season into the playoffs in 2022. Last year, he was playing through some injuries. Now, I have a limited amount of patience with that. There's a lot of people talking about, well, he's injured. He was hurt. It's like, well, if you're healthy enough to be on the field, you lose some of that excuse with me, right? Like, you're either playing or you're not. So, he played last year. His numbers weren't terrible. I mean, he completed 65% of his passes, 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. The turnovers were a lot last year. But, you know, the weapons that he had at his disposal, Calvin Ridley was there. That was a team that was supposed to run away with the division last year, and they didn't. So it's not like Trevor Lawrence has been bad. It's not like he is – it's been just a total red flag for him. I do think it's fair to say that he has not yet lived up to the expectation of where he was drafted. He has been good, and he has had moments where he's looked great, but not consistently enough. Do I think that the Jags have made a mistake in paying him this money? No. Like, what was the alternative? Like, you either pay him the money or you move on and try to go find another quarterback and get back into the quarterback carousel that they were in for so long. So it's absolutely the right move to pay him and to continue to move forward with him. But I do think in order to justify this contract, he's going to have to reach a level on a consistent basis that to this point he has not reached in the NFL.
You're right. And by the way, it was the AFC wildcard game in 2023. He threw four interceptions in the first half before the Jaguars won 31-30.
That's the thing. They won the game.
They did win the game. The Chargers, they fell down the stretch, to put it mildly.
It was a Brandon Staley special.
Yes. But anyway, that's what I was trying to remember earlier. But I thought this was interesting from ESPN. In a 17-game span from week 12 of 2022 through week 11 of 2023, he threw for 4,161 yards and 23 touchdowns with 8 interceptions. He ranked 9th in QBR, 7th in completion percentage, 9th in passing yards, and 12th in touchdown passes among all quarterbacks over that span. So those numbers are the kind that you could say, okay, this guy's probably worth $55 million per season.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been consistent. And you're right. As I said before, I put a giant asterisk over Lawrence's first season because of the Urban Meyer factor. It's hard to hold that against Trevor Lawrence. It seemed to be a symptom of a much larger team-wide issue than something with Trevor Lawrence. And look, the Jaguars were impressive to come back to win the division. But what were the odds that the Titans would lose, what, 7 in a row, right?
7 in a row.
They would lose 7 in a row, and the Jaguars would win enough games to win the division. Like, I wonder what the percentage chance of that was.
I remember, like, the Titans at one point, I think, had, like, a 95% chance to make the play or to win the division and make the playoffs.
Right. So, I mean, that reflects well on the Jaguars and Lawrence, but it also reflects very poorly on the Titans. And I remember last year there was so much hype around the Jaguars. Like, they were going to be the breakout team in the NFL. Like, their comeback to win the AFC South was the first step. And really, it was the Texans that did what everyone thought the Jaguars were going to do.
Yep.
And I have more confidence in the Texans to build off of that than I did about the Jaguars at this time last year when we were having those conversations about, are the Jags for real? I have more confidence in the Texans doing that than I did the Jaguars. But it'll be interesting to see how much of an impact not having Calvin Ridley will have on Trevor Lawrence. Now, they did go get Gabe Davis.
Who's a vertical downfield guy.
That, you know, he's
not as good as Calvin Ridley.
No, not as good as Calvin Ridley, but Gabe Davis, you know, is a good deep threat. was that way in Buffalo for Josh Allen. You know, Christian Kirk, we all laughed at that contract when the Jaguars gave it to him, but he's turned out to be pretty good. Yep. Evan Ingram had a ton of touchdowns last year. Who knows if that's sustainable? Travis Etienne in the backfield. Like, I'm wondering how much of the production of his, I mean, a lot of it obviously relies on Trevor Lawrence, but I'm wondering how much of an impact, like how much of a chance those players have of replicating their seasons that they've been having.
Wes in Clarksville says, Lawrence to me is not shown enough to get paid that much. They compared him to the Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones. They have identical stats. Another texter asking, does Will Levis sign a deal like Trevor Lawrence in 3 years? Well, my guess is if Will Levis is good in 3 years, he signs a deal bigger than what Trevor Lawrence just signed, right? I mean, that's going to be the name of the game in the league. Like, by the time Levis's contract is up, quarterbacks could be in the $60 million a year range, right? Like, you know, I am interested with Lawrence at 55 per year. Not that, you know, annual average value for a contract in the NHL is a big deal. It's really not that big of a deal in the NFL. Like, the more important part of the contract with the NFL is the guaranteed money. Like, how much guaranteed money do you have? So, like, a lot of times the annual average value part of this in the NFL is so the agents can make themselves look good. Like, that's basically what it is.
Yes.
So, but if the agents care about that and the quarterback cares about, I mean, some quarterbacks do care about, some players do care about annual average value. So, if Lawrence is $55 million per year, well, what's that mean for Jordan Love? Like, is Jordan Love coming in below that? Is he getting the same? Is he getting a little bit more than that? Like, you know, Jordan Love, you can make the argument, I mean, he's been a starter for 1 year. So you've got one season, and Charles Robinson laid it out yesterday. Love's one season was basically three seasons in one. It started off like, okay, there's some promise there. For about four or five games in the middle of the year, he was bad, and they were looking like they were going to have a really high draft pick. And then for the second half of the season, his numbers were up there with any quarterback you want to talk about in the league. So it was kind of three different seasons in one, and now he's in line to get an absolute gigantic payday. So, I mean, Jordan Love's highest level last year was more than we've seen Trevor. His highest level was higher than we've seen from Trevor Lawrence at this point, but he's only done it for basically half a season. So, you know, there's a lot of people looking at the Lawrence contract right now and being like, golly, that's a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence based on what he's done in this career. I think when Jordan Love's contract comes out, people are going to say, really? Like, he's getting paid $57 million per year for basically one season of work being a starting quarterback. But again, like, if you believe in your quarterback, that's the going rate nowadays. So, like, if Will Levis is good this time 2 years from now when the Titans make a decision kind of heading into that last year, hopefully he's good enough where he gets through this year, you feel great about it, and he gets through next year and you're ready to sign him to a deal. When that time comes, I mean, he's going to be, if he's good, $60 million plus would be my guess.
Yeah, I wonder how many quarterbacks are going to sign between now and then. Like, which quarterbacks are due a contract imminently,
well,
other than Jordan Love?
I think what's also going to be interesting about this is, like, how do some of the established guys react to the quarterback market?
Okay.
Like, Josh Allen is going to have an astronomical cap hit in the next couple of years. I would assume they're going to address his contract and they're going to change that up a little bit. So what do these new deals do for him? You know, that next wave of guys, like, you know, Stroud, when his time comes, like, Stroud's going to be in the same boat as Levis in terms of timeline. Now, Stroud does have the fifth-year option on his deal because he's a first-round pick and Levis isn't. So you can make a decision quicker on Levis than you'll have to with Stroud if you're Houston. But, I mean, by the time Stroud's deal comes up, if he plays like he played last year and continues to get better, I mean, what's he going to make on his next deal? $65 million per year? Like, I think people are going to be floored. You know, the Jordan Love thing is one thing. You know, Tua down in Miami is another. You know, Dak Prescott, I think, is going to make a ton of money. Like, the next deal he gets, whether it's from Dallas or otherwise, I think could creep into close to $60 million per year. I mean, That's kind of the expectation. It's been the expectation around him anyway. So the quarterback market is going up rapidly, and I'm interested to see how that affects teams. And, you know, that's also what makes these next couple of years important here. Like, if Levis is good and he takes a big step forward this year, you've got an opportunity, if you're the Titans and Rand Carthon, to build a roster around him while he's still cheap. You know, getting those quarterbacks in on the rookie deal is really important in today's NFL.
The next three quarterbacks, according to CBS Sports, who are next in line for new contracts, Jordan Love, Tua, and Dak Prescott.
Yep.
So those are the next three that are coming up. And I imagine that those three could come. My guess is that Love comes under Lawrence, but the other two are above.
Might happen. Yeah.
So because just Love doesn't have as much of a body of work. But, you know, you think about the quarterbacks.
Although if I'm him, I'm saying, yep, but my body of work, my highest level is better than Trevor Lawrence. You better pay me.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just comparing Lawrence to the quarterbacks, that list I read of the highest, you know, average salary per year. So, you know, Joe Burrow's been to one Super Bowl,
yep.
Right? Goff's also been to one Super Bowl, yes?
He's been to one, yep.
Yes. Herbert hasn't been to one.
Herbert has not won a playoff game.
He has not won a playoff game. Jackson is a two-time MVP.
Yep.
So, you know, he's keeping the company he keeps just based on his salary. One of these things is not like the other. I guess Lawrence and Herbert are kind of in the same boat.
Yep.
Though Lawrence has won a playoff game.
And against Herbert.
Against Herbert. Yep. So there you go. So maybe that's worth the extra $2.5 million that Lawrence is making more than Herbert. But, yeah, I just – they're paying Lawrence for what he can become, what they hope he can become, not what he's done. Because based on what he's done, he's not worth $55 million. But as we said, that's just the name of the game when you're a quarterback in the NFL. Would you rather pay Trevor Lawrence top dollar or hope that Mac Jones, you know, who did nothing in New England, will suddenly become a viable starter in Jacksonville? It's not worth the risk.
Take more of your thoughts on the quarterback market, Trevor Lawrence's new deal in Jacksonville. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway, Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 1025 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June 16th, which is this weekend. So make sure you get involved and take advantage of that now. You got till Sunday to do it. Promo code GAME at MusicCityGP.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans and a couple hockey questions with Stilly as well, coming up at 7. Looking forward to that. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will be with us at 8 o'clock as well. Taking your thoughts, your reaction to the Trevor Lawrence deal, 615-737-1025. An interesting question, and I think I know the answer, but maybe I'm wrong. If you're a Titans fan and you're looking at the rest of this division, which quarterback scares you the most? Now, I think most people's answer would be Stroud. Now, having said that, Stroud has had 1 year, right? 1 year of success. And look, they've got an incredible team on paper. There's going to be a lot of people picking Houston to make some major noise this year. You know, everybody, for the most part, I think is going to pick them to win the AFC South. But they're a popular pick right now to be a dark horse in the AFC and to contend for a Super Bowl. So we'll see if they're actually able to do that. We'll see if Stroud takes a step forward in year two or if he takes a step back. Like, C.J. Stroud would not be the first quarterback we've seen to have an incredible rookie season and then take a step back in year two. So we'll see if he can avoid that and what that looks like and all those things. So I think Stroud's probably the answer for most Titans fans. But is it Richardson that's next that scares you the most? Is it Lawrence? Like, how do you view what is a really interesting quarterback division? Because Trevor Lawrence,
he's the elder statesman.
He's the elder statesman.
And he's been in the league,
and
what,
he's
24
years old.
Yeah.
I mean, this is in terms of when you look at each division around the league, you can make different arguments as to, like, quarterbacks and storylines and which is the most intriguing. But certainly, like, to me, the AFC South is up there from the standpoint of they're so young. Like, three of these guys are from the same draft class with Stroud, Richardson, and Levis. And then you've got Lawrence, who's a former number one overall pick at age 24. It's a really, really young division at the quarterback position. And I think all of them have a chance to be good. Now, what's the likelihood that all of them actually will be good? Probably not very high. But Richardson has got unbelievable talent, right? Like, you know, go back to the testing at the combine, which I know a lot of times we roll our eyes at. He's like literally by the numbers the most athletic quarterback of all time, Anthony Richardson, with the numbers that he put up at the combine. Lawrence, we know, has all the ability in the world. Stroud was unbelievable his first year in Houston. And look, Levis here in Nashville has got great tools. Like, he's got an incredible arm, the work ethic, all those things. So all four of them, to me, Adam, have a chance to be really good. Again, I don't know that it's going to play out that way. But the AFC South is a really interesting quarterback division. And if you're a Titans fan looking at it, it's like not only do you need Will Levis to be good, but you need Will Levis to put you in a position where you're competing with potentially three other really good quarterbacks in your own division.
I'm just looking through the NFL divisions right now, and I can't think of a division that has a more intriguing group of quarterbacks. You know, maybe the NFC North, Goff, Love, Caleb Williams, and I guess Sam Darnold to start, but then you've got J.J. McCarthy there as well. The NFC South is intriguing for different reasons. Baker, Mayfield, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, and Bryce Young. You know, the AFC West obviously has Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. But yeah, when you look at the youth of the top quarterbacks in the AFC South, it's unmatched. And you know, of those quarterbacks, which one would terrify me most as a Titans fan? I would say currently it's C.J. Stroud, just because of what he accomplished last year and the weapons he has at his disposal. Between now he has Stephon Diggs, he has Nico Collins, he has Tank Dell, he has Dalton Schultz. Now he has Joe Mixon.
Offensive coordinator's back again.
Bobby Slowick. Yeah, there's a lot there that would suggest that, you know, maybe this is the start of a run for the Houston Texans. We talked about Richardson earlier this week, and you know the talent is obvious, but as we discussed, you knew just watching him early in the season he was going to get himself figuratively killed. He didn't die on the field, but you knew that he was going to get hurt sooner rather than later, and it took, what, four games for him to get hurt, and now he's missing the end of mandatory minicamp with soreness in the shoulder that he was operated on after his season ended. So that's a big question mark. Like, I think from a pure talent standpoint, I might put Richardson over Stroud, just in terms of, like,
I think talent, there's no question.
Yes, yeah. I would put Richardson over Stroud, but the injury concerns give the edge to Stroud. I think if Richardson hadn't already been hurt seriously and wasn't entering this season potentially nursing something, like, he'll be able to play through it, but I'm wondering how much of an impact it will have on his ability. Like, right now, I do think it's Stroud fairly definitively.
Oh, and look, you know, it's not always about there have been plenty of quarterbacks that have a lot of talent that don't work out in the NFL, right? Like, go back to Vince Young. Vince Young had an unbelievable amount of talent. It just didn't work in the NFL. You know, Zach Wilson has a lot of talent. He's got a lot of arm talent. It has not gone very well for him in the NFL. So, look, I'm not saying Anthony Richardson is going to be Zach Wilson. I'm just saying talent is not always the end-all, be-all. Like, it's a really interesting – there's so much that goes into playing quarterback at the NFL. Some of it's your situation. Some of it's the talent around you. Some of it's injury luck. Like, it's a really difficult formula to try to replicate. But – The opportunity is there, I think, for this division. I mean, we could be talking about these four guys, and maybe we won't be, but we could be talking about these four guys playing quarterbacks for these four teams for the next 15 years. You know, that's the way that things work in today's NFL. Quarterbacks are going to start playing longer because of the way the rules are set up. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I do agree with both of y'all. I think C.J. Stroud is the one to really fear the most. Now, I want to ask this question because, as a fan of the Titans, if I see the Texans this year with all the talent they have around them go out and win a Super Bowl, it would infuriate me as an organization to have them get another franchise down there, and then we're still not even close to winning a Super Bowl, but they've somehow figured it out in a shorter span than we have. So I just wanted to weigh that thought out there and see what y'all thought about that.
Yep, thanks for the call, Weston. I mean, beyond that part of it, which obviously, like, it, if and when the day comes that the Texans win a Super Bowl before the Titans do, I mean, maybe Adam Strunk is going to be infuriated. I mean, clearly, if you've paid attention to this organization long enough, there's a lot weighed into the matchup against Houston. I mean, it's pretty personal, so that's pretty clear. But beyond that, like, I think what would also be infuriating and kind of like, I guess, a blueprint of some ways, the Texans were awful 2 years ago, and they went from awful to division winner to now, in the span of 2 years, a lot of people are going to be picking them to make some serious noise. Like, there are people that believe, and I don't know that I subscribe to this. I would probably have the Texans at number three at highest, maybe four, heading into the season in the AFC. I think it's Kansas City one and Baltimore two. Mm-hmm. There are some people who believe that Houston's two. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I think they've got a ton of talent. I would go Kansas City and Baltimore 1-2, but there are some people that believe Houston is number two.
Well, it's definitely Kansas City number one. There's no otherwise proven. Yep. But, yeah, that's a good – you know, Baltimore has – there's more proof of concept with the Ravens right now than there is with the Texans. So I think I would lean Ravens two. And I think Houston at three seems – I think that seems right. I think entering the
NFL
season.
You could go Cincinnati season, there, but again, like, I got to see it with Cincinnati. Like, they got to stay healthy. Burrow's got to stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. I think just because of the fact of the steps that the Texans took forward and the steps the Bengals took backward last season, obviously because of the injury to Joe Burrow, I would – yeah, I think if you're looking for a top three, I think Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston, I think you can lock that in.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. I got some tickets to give away to see Alanis Morissette coming up at Bridgestone Arena on June 23rd. Brought to you by Green Trees. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Alanis Morissette at Bridgestone Arena on June 23rd. Brought to you by Green Trees. A very educational week this week for Nick Kieser, who now knows who Alanis Morissette is. Way to go, Nick.
If I've accomplished one thing this week in filling in for Joe, I hope it's that Nick has an appreciation for Alanis Morissette.
A little bit more than usual, probably.
That's good.
Well, a little bit more than anything, because you walked in here earlier this week saying, I have no idea who this is. Paraphrasing.
Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line says, physical talent doesn't always translate into wins. There's a big mental aspect also. See Tom Brady. He wasn't a physical specimen by any means.
Yes, we've all seen the photo of Tom Brady and his boxers. It's famous by this point.
It is.
Those big baggy boxers he wore during his, was that the combine?
Yep. Now, to his credit, I will say, he did a lot of work to physically become a lot better, right?
He did, yes. You know,
so there is that part of it. But no question, like, when you start listing off, I've said this before, like, Aaron Rodgers is, I'm not going to say way more talented, but Aaron Rodgers is more talented than Tom Brady. Who's a better player? Tom Brady. I think we would all agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not all, like, Mahomes, which is why he may end up being the best of all of them when it's all said and done. He's got the combination of the talent, the intangibles, the work ethic, all that stuff. Everything you want, Mahomes has at this point. So it's a really complicated position. You know, Rex Road brings up Kirk Cousins a lot. Like, Kirk Cousins does not have a lot of physical talent, but he's carved out a really nice career for himself with the tools that he has. He's extremely accurate. He's very smart and makes good decisions with the football. So that's how Kirk Cousins has carved out the career for himself, yes.
Something about – I remember reading something about Kirk Cousins after free agency about how he – like, he's – in terms of, like, total salary accumulated in his career, is one of the highest paid players
ever. Yeah.
And I think some – like, I think there was – it might have been an anonymous poll of some kind, and they were asking, like, which quarterback would you want to be? And someone said Kirk Cousins, and they were like, why? I was like – because the guy gets his bag all the time.
Money all the time.
And the reason for that, and credit to Kirk Cousins, is he's one of those quarterbacks who's willing to enter free agency.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks don't do that. And he's been in – well, I can't remember. Did he sign –
well, he got franchised, I think at least once by Washington.
Was he a free agent signing by the Vikings or a trade?
I think he got – I want to say he got traded under the tag.
Okay.
But I'll have to go back and look.
But he is willing to go to free agency.
No doubt.
When most quarterbacks don't.
He will bet on himself. There's
and,
no doubt.
And he's made a lot of money that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins is not a physical specimen by any stretch of the imagination, but he is a very talented quarterback.
Yeah.
And that'll be interesting to see how that works in Atlanta. Like, not even the Michael Penix of it all, but just Cousins with, you know, with that group. Because that was the problem with Arthur Smith last season as head coach, and part of the reason why he got fired, was because he wasn't giving his top players the ball enough.
Yeah.
Like, you have Bijan Robinson getting out carried by, was it Tyler Allgeier or whatever his name is? Like, that, in what world should that ever happen?
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins will be interesting there. But anyway, yeah. I mean, Levis is a physical specimen, I would say. Got incredible arm strength, takes care of himself. I'll be interested to see how that goes and where, you know, I would love to fast forward a couple of years and just see where this all ends up. But, you know, this is absolutely a big year for him.
Skyler on the text line says, how would the league view Trevor Lawrence if the Titans wouldn't have fired John Robinson in the middle of the year and lost every game after that, which handed the Jaguars Trevor Lawrence's only playoff appearance? So, you know, that is a great question. You know, the Titans had the division in the bag. Had they just held on and either won that Jacksonville game at the end of the year or not totally collapsed down the stretch, you'd be talking about 3 years at this point with no playoff appearances for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, it would certainly be different. I mean, he has won a playoff game, so you can't take that away from him. And he played great down the second half of that season. But certainly it would be different. I don't think there's any question. Dustin says, Levis is a big Brady guy. Smart, seems humble enough. Does he seem like the type to take a team-friendly deal, or does he try to maximize top dollar? Well, I don't know. I'm not gonna pretend to guess about like what Will Levis is going to do on his next contract. Your hope, if you're a Titans fan, is that he's good enough to even put himself in that position. If he's good enough 2 years from now where you're worried about him taking a team-friendly deal or not, then I think you'd sign up for that right now. And, yeah. And even if he doesn't, like, again, it's not your money. Amy Adams Strunk is the one paying him, so go ahead.
I mean, that's the question about, you know, Skyler's question is what I touched on earlier. As I would love like a number, like the percentage chance that the Titans would lose in that season, their last seven games,
yep.
And the Jaguars would win enough games to win the division.
Yep.
I would have to say, I would say it's under 5%, the likelihood of that happening,
yep.
If not even lower than that. So you're right, like, if that doesn't happen, how are we talking about Trevor Lawrence? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, perhaps Trevor Lawrence should send a thank you note to the Titans,
yeah,
for this, because maybe they played a role in him getting this contract
thank
some way.
Thank you, Amy Adams Strunk. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the Lawrence contract, his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.